All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. Hope you guys are doing well. And I just got back from Oregon once again on a fall bear hunt where we were successful on filling two bear tags, me and my buddy Josh. And today I am joined by Josh, who is the same guy you are going to see soon in these blacktail films we got coming out. He put us on a couple very nice bucks this last fall, and we decided to come back out and hang out because we had such a great time for fall bear, and we smacked a couple bears. So what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you, Hunter?
Good, man.
Good to see you, dude. It feels like it's been an eternity. It's only been a week.
I know, man. We had such a good time out there. You guys may know this from listening before, but Josh is sort of related to Luke, kind of, but they're just like family friends. I guess you were at one point married to one of his cousins or something.
Yeah, and we're all family, yeah, around here. You
know? And then yeah, we got together last. It's crazy because last year we only hunted together one day, and then we've killed that huge buck. But we bonded pretty quick, I feel like, on that hunt.
I did, and that's kind of funny because I was talking to Luke like after you had left, and he's like, "Yeah, dude, like you and Hunter are like peanut butter and jelly." You know that song? He's my best friend. And they're like, he's like, I was kind of like a little envious. Like, you guys are just broing down like everywhere. You guys are just inseparable. We did. We really grew a friendship for sure. Pretty awesome. Yeah,
totally, man. I mean, first of all, nothing bonds you like a hunt. And then, yeah, I don't know, just some people you just click with. And then also, you know, Ruger, on this hunt anyway, Ruger, who folks listening don't really probably know who he is, but Ruger is a new young videographer, photographer, guy that I'm going to be working with quite a bit this year. This is the first hunt we did together, so I had him and Luke come out. And just because me and Luke are such good friends, we wanted to have him there. But that way, Luke was kind of training Ruger a lot and, like, giving him a lot of pointers. So they were kind of, like, over there, like, you know, discussing camera stuff, which I understand it all. But to you, probably sounded like they're speaking Chinese the entire time.
It was a running joke.
And so you and me were kind of – it was almost kind of like we were sort of the hunters and they were sort of the videographers, which is kind of how it was. But, yeah. Just, like, I don't know. I think you're hilarious. Like, first of all, I respect you a ton because, you know, I give you lots of crap because that's just how we are because it's fun. But you're one of the most, like, loyal and, like, genuine people I know. So, and, you know, a lot of guys are, like, that are like you, like, you know, big hunters, military vet, you know, they're kind of stoic and kind of want to act like this macho badass dude and kind of like, oh yeah. But like, no, you're a really just a nice guy. Like, you're not afraid to like say nice things, which is nice.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It's taken a long time.
Did you used to be a jerk?
No, but I learned that, you know, like you speak from your heart and you just open up a little bit. Your relationships with people are far more deep and
yes.
Or like have substance to them than that surface level, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to be humbled on the mountain, you know? So I'm not the greatest at anything. So, you know, I don't like that when people are so set in their ways, they don't listen to other people.
Yeah.
That's what was great about this group is that, you know, Hunt, you're a good hunter. Luke's a good hunter. Ruger, 20 years old, is a stud hunter. I mean, I wouldn't put his age past him at all. So there was a lot of bouncing ideas and a lot of learning from all angles on this trip.
Yeah, there was a lot of learning going on for sure. Like, there was a ton of learning going on between Luke and Ruger on the camera side of things. I was learning a ton from you on judging different cuts and ages of cuts and bear behavior and different, like, plants and animals. And then also, like you said, I think we all kind of grew like interpersonally, you know, like, because like just like you said, we were none of us were afraid to be genuine and vulnerable and grow and learn. And I think, you know, a lot of that comes from having a root in Christ and being willing to be humble and grow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And this hunt was just fun. I mean, we came at it from as a fun hunt from months ago. I mean, it's not like a style that you'd see on TV, you know, and it was just more geared towards like fellowship and fun and just friends, you yeah. know, I mean, super unique, as the audience is going to soon learn, but
yeah,
it was just fun.
Yeah. 'Cause you told me a while ago, you know, obviously as hunters sometimes, and as content creators, sometimes you want to do, you know, truly backcountry hunts. You want to go in deep. You want to, like, you know, do all that stuff, get like a real true wilderness experience. And I have a few hunts like that this year. But you were telling me, you know, we started planning this, like, that's just not really the best way to do this hunt.
Yeah.
And so I know other content creators who would bend over backwards to film this in a way to make it look like we were in the backcountry, you know. But I always want to be authentic, and this is kind of not for everything, but a lot of Oregon hunting, because of the amount of land available and the amount of access through the logging roads, this is an effective style of hunting, which we'll get into the details of in a little bit. But so yeah, we came in, you had us, tell us how you had us set up, man, like when we came in to camp and all that. So I'm going to take this opportunity while Zoom just crashed to tell you about the Manfrotto Alpha Shot tripod. This is an awesome tripod. I just used it all week on this bear hunt. And Manfrotto really was able to hit the sweet spot between stability and lightweight. It's still light enough to carry up the mountain with you, because I was carrying mine around all week, but it's also one of the most stable and durable tripods I've ever used. So if you're in the market for a tripod for glassing, filming, shooting, I highly recommend the Manfrotto Alpha Shot tripod and the additional grip head attachment that comes with it that's optional. That's an awesome addition for shooting off a tripod. So check them out, Manfrotto Alpha Shot tripods. Okay, so we're back. We had a little trouble there with Zoom, but we're back. And so yeah, we were talking about how this was a fun kind of fellowship oriented hunt. We knew that coming in just because of the style of the hunt. So tell us some of the work you did, because I wasn't there to even see it, but some of the work you did to set this up to be a really fun week and also seeing a lot of bears.
Well, to be honest with you, I just did what I do. I mean, I'm always in the woods, so I'm always scouting and kind of figuring out. I've never killed a fall bear, not the first or second day of season, so I like to know where they're at. So I did a lot
of
stuff.
When you say that, you just, like, your natural element, you just drive those logging roads and just explore just for hours all the time, don't you?
Hours. Load the kids up and go. And it's one of our pastimes is getting bears in the Olin through the spotter. The kids mm-hmm. get to see it. Yeah, it's fun. So that's kind of like, you know, where most people are at the river, I'm up in the mountains. So I'm just kind of figuring the country out, and, you know, and then when I don't have the kids, it's hiking to the bottom of these nasty drainages and looking at, you know, what's growing in the bottom. I mean, you have to physically see what's ripe and what's not. And so, yeah. So anyways,
you drive around. Hold on. This is great too, because something else that I love about you is, like, you're like a museum piece from, like, the 70s or something. Like, you don't use maps, like, you just know where the roads are, you remember which cuts are where, and you actually go down in there, like, these nasty cuts that most hunters don't even want to go mess with, and you go and you're going down there to look for, to see if the berries are ripe, or what are you looking for down there?
Yeah, berries, bear trails, poop. Yeah,
that'll give you an idea of, even if you're not seeing bears, because maybe it's like the middle of the day, but that'll give you an idea of, like, there's bears in that area in that cut.
Yeah, just checking on sign. And for you, the audience, I'm very old school.
Yeah.
So like barely use Onyx. Like I think they were blown away that I pulled it out one or two times. I don't do much computering.
He legitimately said, computering is not my thing one time, like completely straight faced, serious.
Yeah,
Computering.
and my form of scouting is boots on the ground. So that's kind of, that's just the way I roll. So,
yeah. So anyway, so you would be scouting. Yeah, it does work. It just requires, not that. So yes, it does work. I think technology, stuff like Onyx, can maybe help you be a little more efficient with your time. But like, if that's not a thing that, like, if you just enjoy driving around for hours and looking for bears, then that's just as good. You don't have to use Onyx to be an effective hunter. Obviously, even though it's funny, I'm wearing their t-shirt right now, but.
I mean, I definitely use Onyx for like Northeast Oregon and places that I can't get to every day. And I definitely use it marking things and to help my memory. But as far as like my portion of the world goes, no, I don't use it to look at a map. I'm boots on the ground guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my life growing up, is see a kid, go play in the woods. We'll see it dark.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, so yeah, just did a lot of preseason scouting and then, pretty much was ready to go. Had that week of on call for work. So I was like, had a week where I couldn't be in the woods. So that was really stressful. And I think the fires and everything else, I was kind of like stressing everybody out because I was stressing out,
Yeah, you're sending us all these like doomsday messages, like, we're not going to find any bears. The berries are going to dry up. The fires are going to ruin us.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as you now know, I would say you're an expert bear hunter out here. I think you could easily get it done. But the berries, they come and go.
Yeah.
Like where they are ripe one day, they're either eaten or dried out from 110 degree weather by the next day. And it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
And another thing like we saw is we saw deer following the bears playing mop up on the berries the whole time. So they're gone, So like,
you think that's what they were doing? They were actually following the bears.
Dude, I think so.
We definitely saw a correlation between spots where we were seeing lots of bears and there'd be deer nearby for sure.
Like within 100 yards.
Yeah.
And following them the same path. So, and like the week before I scouted lower elevation, all these spots and it was prime. And like, I sent my buddy and his dad in there, but I didn't get to look at it because of my on call. And it was completely a bust for him, completely dried up. And everyone else I know right now isn't even seeing bears at the elevation we were at. So, they just come and go quick. So it's a stressful thing. It's like, you've got a couple days, really to hit it.
Yeah. Hit the really good berries. Just
insanity,
Yeah.
And if you hit it right, it's insanity. And we hit it just right. And it was insanity.
Yeah. Those first couple of days were wild, man. So anyway, so I flew in. Ruger, who lives in Oregon, is already at your place. Me and Luke hit the store. And then we showed up to your house and and you were ready to go with your cutoff sleeveless shirt, just completely in character. I think you had a Red Bull in your hand probably, or some kind of energy drink. Like, Josh is the type of dude, he doesn't wake up and like pour a French press coffee. He wakes up and rolls to the gas station and grabs a energy drink.
Red Bull.
A ghost. Anyway.
Ghost.
You just cracked me up. But anyway, we got there and then you had camp ready for us. So tell us about our camp spot.
Yeah, so
Black Bear Lake.
Yeah, so I booked it like 6 months in advance and it's a high-end campground. I mean,
it was nice.
It's asphalt, it's full hookups, it's on a lake. I mean, it's the older generation in there. It's shut down and quiet by 9 p.m. We are always the last people up. It's not a party lake, and it's Gucci. So everyone's just, we're really camping. We're in my toy hauler, 32-foot toy hauler. So had Luke hook up to my wakeboard boat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, We did some playing too on during the hunt.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was fun. He had we got there. First we went out to the range and just we there's a nice range that we stopped off and sent a few rounds, which is good because anytime you travel, I don't know, man, like I don't know if it's normal or not, but it seems like every time I get off an airplane, my gun's not quite where it should be. So, and I don't know what's up with that, but anyway, went in there, checked our guns, shot a little bit, and went to the campsite, which yeah, was awesome. Your trailer, you said 32-foot,
Yeah.
and we had AC in there. Everybody had their own bed, like it was pretty nice, man. Like definitely, it would have been. Like, 'cause the bears were moving first thing and last, later in the day. So we had several hours in the middle of the day where it was very hot. And man, if we were like cooking in some tents or just had nowhere to go to rest in that middle part of the day, it would have been rough. So it was like super nice to have a place we could go in and just like take naps and make good food,
It just made it really nice. And then, having shower and everything else, just the whole thing, just I just knew it was going to be a little bit more luxury and more comfortable,
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
but it and and standard data for me from my guiding days is just make sure the guns are on. So that was really important. And we went straight from the range to camp. I don't even think that we really unpacked camp. We went straight up on the mountain and started literally watching bears within
Yeah.
minutes of being there.
I'm trying to pull up my pictures here. I think we went. Did we go to the glory hole first? Or was that? No, that was later in the evening. Do you
We
remember?
went to Choco Taco.
We drove around a bunch that first night, and we
We
saw
did.
probably what, like 15 bears or something?
I would suspect, yeah. I can't remember the exact number. I mean, we'd have to go through the footage. We saw 10 to 15 bears that first evening.
Yeah, easily. And then, so that was the 30th. And then we had, what do we have? I had some delicious food that night. Remember what we had for dinner that night? You had a nice menu worked out.
Yeah, it was a good menu.
Is that the burger night? No.
We had you and Luke's deer burgers one night. We had steak one night. We had
Sloppy
elk
Joe's.
sloppy joes, and then we had carne asada.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't
we I
order
remember we
other.
had that night, but we had something delicious. Josh cooked up dinner for us. He had all the food all ready to
Oh,
go. I mean,
first night we just had brats.
oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, because we kind of wanted to keep it easy.
Yeah, we
Because we got
kept
in
it.
kind of late from scouting.
Yeah.
But yeah, better than freeze-dried.
Better than freeze-dried.
So then, yeah, we had the whole next day to kind of scout and get some footage and hang out. So what do we do the next day? Do you remember?
Yeah, the next day we just kind of woke up leisurely a little late and went on the mountain. I think we saw like five or six bears in one cut that first morning. I remember in the glory hole, and then kind of drove around and saw several more, and then that was the afternoon where we seen like some of the most epic footage of that blond bear.
Yes.
There we
Yes.
so seen a chocolate bear running through a cut with that was like a 300 pounder with like one that dwarfed it following it,
Yeah.
and then we saw that absolute beast come out and run both of those bears out. And that was from over a mile and a half away. Remember?
Yeah, you can see him with the naked eye just like moving across his cut. And then, yeah, there's this giant one like kind of chasing him, the other two.
Yeah, absolutely gigantic. And then we went
It's like
over
three
to.
different color bears too. It was like a light and like a and then like a chocolate and then like a jet black.
Yeah, and I remember I'd been holding out on you guys because I'd been seeing quite a few of these bears, and then your goal was like you really wanted a chocolate bear, and I was like, oh, I got something for you, buddy. And that's all we saw, more
We
chocolates than
did.
anything.
We saw a lot. Hey, do you think the bear I shot, do you think you'd seen that one before?
Don't
Not.
think so.
Okay.
I don't think
Anyway,
so.
we'll get there. But yeah, that so we saw those three bears moving. I think Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we see those bears and then kind of work around the other side of the mountain to get to the back side of that cut to look at them again?
We did.
Yeah, okay.
We
And
did. And for that blonde, just
yes.
crazy. And he legit looked like a grizzly bear.
Yeah, it's so cool. You'll see it in the footage, guys, but we're like looking at this chocolate bear, and then all of a sudden I can't somebody's like, "Oh, look at the skyline. There's one skyline." And it was like golden hour, and this thing was like a light color phase. He wasn't completely blonde, but like with the lighting, and he was skylit or whatever it's called, and like he just like was popping like golden, and like that'll just be one of those images that's like burned in my brain forever. Just that he was super muscular looking, pretty fat, and just like golden bears like on the skyline. It was sick.
Yeah, and it was really rad. And then we opted to back out. So we were within, man, 250 yards of them.
Yeah.
It's like we back out for opening day, and we did. And we went back to camp, and everyone was pumped. And I've been telling you guys for months, I wouldn't be surprised if we tagged out opening day, you know,
Yeah.
and we had every opportunity to tag out opening day. I mean, but yeah, that was really epic footage for sure
That was
of that.
cool. I think
So,
that
yeah.
night is when we had burgers, right? Okay, go ahead. We're gonna say.
Yeah, that's the night we did deer burgers. How
Yeah,
were
so
those?
those were awesome, dude. So Josh had Luke's Oregon buck and my Oregon buck, the meat separated, and he made two like giant 1/2 pound burgers from each one, and that was amazing, dude. I can't That was one of the best burgers I've ever had.
So good.
How'd you
So
cook
good.
those things?
Well, I processed them myself, and it just goes to show care for meat in the field. I mean, they are phenomenal. So I processed them, ground them myself, and
How much
then
fat did you put in there?
like 10%.
10? Okay.
Yeah, and then my neighbor, a big secret in Oregon is the morel hunting. It's very big, and my neighbor actually takes them and he dries them and grinds them and makes seasoning. So it was morel seasoning and a little bit of Montreal. That's it.
Nice.
With all
And
the goodies.
wait, what was on there? Like, did cheese and did you make some kind of vegetables or something?
Tillamook cheese, everything on those were from Oregon, minus the
Oh yeah.
stinking patty or the patties,
Buns.
buns.
I think I grilled up some onions to throw on there maybe, and then just lettuce and tomato. It was bomb.
Yeah, they were good.
So then it's opening day. So walk me through that.
Opening day, we went to the glory hole.
Okay.
There was bears everywhere.
That's Josh's spot.
That's my spot.
The glory hole.
There was a good chocolate and a good black one that were in a pretty shootable location, but they logged the opposite side of it, and so you can actually glass it. But so you guys put the stock on, if I remember correctly,
That's the
to get.
one where they were okay, yeah. So I guess I'll run through that. So man, that was opening morning, huh?
That was opening morning.
So we saw two bears about halfway up the mountain, but they were working their way up through the cut into the timber, kind of like to head back to bed, I guess, kind of feeding their way up. And at the top of the mountain, there's a landing, a logging
Oh,
landing.
we're out of order. We went to Choco Taco first.
Yeah, I was gonna say that didn't happen first thing. There's something else
No,
that
that was
happened.
right. That had to have been. See, there's so many bears, it's hard to keep track of.
Yeah. We don't have to go through every single bear because if so, this will be like a 5-hour podcast.
We went to Choco Taco and we parked in there early. And what happened was, is we got blown out.
Oh, that's yes. Tell that
So
story.
that we were going to hike to and glass from, I crest around the corner and there's a big black bear at like 20 yards staring at me, and it got startled and it
On
ran.
our glassing spot.
Yeah. It caught us all off surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
that's
go ahead.
so pretty much blew us out. Then we went to Glory Hole.
Okay, yeah. And we were
And then
like, yeah. And we were like, man, that's. We were kind of frustrated, but at the same time, we were like, because we were really expecting to kill a bear, like, first thing. Like, we were like, it's going to happen. And the spot we were going to, the landing, it was literally the same spot we saw that golden bear from the night before, and it was like 250 yards from the landing to like where the bears were. So we were thinking we were gonna get in there and like just easily get one, you know? And of course, animals had a different idea. So yeah, you walk up. I didn't see it when you walked up, but apparently you just walked up and there's just a bear just like staring at you at 20 yards, huh?
Yeah, and it like jolted its head, and I could see it like blink a bunch. Like it was like, what the heck is this? But it took off up the ridge in our direction and then cut down by where we had parked across the road and just blew like everything out of there.
Yeah.
Like
And
first thing
we were
we were.
kind of frustrated, but I was like, there's worse problems to have. There's so many bears in here that's like on our spot.
Yeah. So we didn't stick around there, and then we jammed to the glory hole. And then saw all those bears in there, and then we decided to try to put a stock on to get into closer range, and then you can take it from there on what that happened.
Yeah, so basically we saw these bears, they were working up to the timber. So we jumped in the truck and basically drove to the where the tree line started before the landing, parked there, hiked up to the landing, and as we're getting up there, I think maybe the wind had switched or something. One of the bears may have winded us, we're not sure, but for whatever reason, I guess one kind of split off to the bottom, and then one bear started kind of like quickly started moving towards the timber. And you were on the radio and you're like, it was like a movie, like was being narrated, like almost like you know that scene in The Matrix where like they're like, turn left at the cubicle now, go, you know, like that. So I had the radio right here and it was like, the bear will be 500 or the bear will be, you know, 50 feet from you in 5 seconds, like go. And so it was like, but our communication wasn't like quite on point, and I still was like figuring out like what I was doing and like how bears kind of react. And so Ruger actually had the wherewithal to kind of be like, yo, they're gonna go that like further in. 'Cause when you said that, I was like, I didn't know if the thing was gonna cross right over the landing right in front of us or what. But Ruger had the instincts from just being a good hunter to kind of like motion me to go closer to the timber because that's where he was gonna go, was the closest timber he could get to. So anyways, we rushed over there. I finally see him. I got a new rifle and a new bipod, so I wasn't completely comfortable. And also I realized I was too locked into the idea of trying to get prone when it was a pretty short shot. I should have just found a rock that was expedient to get on and get a like a rest. I mean, you could practically shoot offhand. It was only like 160 yards, I think. But everything was happening so fast and we were kind of running around. So I got down and I somehow found a spot to get prone. And just as I was kind of like Luke was on with the camera and but he was moving, not like running, but he was moving fast, trying to get into the timber. And not like,
Definitely winded us.
yeah, he was moving with purpose. I'm not gonna say he was like running, but so by the time I'd gotten set up and finally got him in my crosshairs, which my scope's a 4-24, and at 150 yards, it can be kind of hard to find a moving object in that thing. So, anyway, once I finally did get him in, they got beautiful footage, but it just didn't work out. Like I wasn't able to get a clear shot before he moved into the timber. But,
In from my perspective, I'm 1,000 yards away watching this go down.
yeah.
And the two that were at the top of the cut, which we got beautiful footage of, these deer were following them and everything. The chocolate went up. The black one was just busy eating. And then when it winded, it went down and it blew everything out of the cut. So then
Oh.
Joshy was in a bad mood.
Yeah, I was like, after that happened, I was like, all right, Josh, what happened? Nothing. Just like silence. Josh, you copy? Was like, man, I must have like changed the channel on my radio on accident or something. But in actuality, you were over there cursing, probably kicking a rock or something.
I was pretty pissed. I went for an angry hike to the center of the ridge and just sat there and pouted with my binoculars. You guys picked me up.
Were you like mad at us or just mad at the situation?
I was so mad at the situation. It was like, man, dude, there was like so many bears in this cut. You could almost pick them off like grouse, like
Yeah.
the wind screwed us. And then that other bear had screwed us at first light. And I'm like, this is not supposed to be this much of a struggle. And hindsight, it's like kind of, overreacting because there's so many bears, and it's like they are that it is a relatively different situation of hunting. You're
Yeah.
not, it's a different kind of grind.
Sure, but I can understand your frustration because, like you said, you've been scouting and looking forward to and preparing for this for weeks. You know, everybody has pressure on a hunt, especially like if you have, out of town guests coming, you want to show them a good time. And of course, we're filming, so there's a lot of pressure, and it was all on you really to find bears. And
Yeah, there was a
so
lot of trust you and Luke and Ruger, like, in Ruger it even said, like, pre-hunt, like, because I was telling him about it, and he admitted to everyone, like, yeah, I kind of thought you were like full of crap, like, no way. And then by the end, he's like, I will never doubt if you again ever. He's like, this was insane,
yes.
insane.
Yeah, Luke kept saying, always trust the
That's
cuzzo.
it. It's a hidden gem, just a caveman gem.
It's true, because you're so like funny that like yeah, I could see some people thinking you're like you're full of crap, but no, like there was tons of bears. And so I wasn't that worried about it, just the amount of bears we had seen. Of course, it's kind of annoying to miss the opportunity, but it was all good. And then I guess we kind of, we're probably skipping through some stuff. That's okay, just for time wise. But went back to camp, rested up, and
It was fascinating learning how the filming goes, like actually being a part of it. Those guys don't get enough credit, but you pulled me aside and said, my guys need sleep. Like they're gonna take a nap. Like, so they have to be on point for this evening. Like stuff like that was a big learning experience for me. So yeah, we napped and then we went back out that afternoon.
Yeah, I realized coming, because normally, it's me and one other guy, and then on this trip there's four of us, and so I knew there was going to be some, team dynamic, and with four guys, you want to kind of open up communication. Everyone kind of has their role, and if you don't address it, it kind of just like takes a couple days for everyone to like naturally assimilate into their role, which can end up weird. So I actually had like a team meeting at the beginning of the trip, which I think was good. Just kind of establish, our goals, our roles, because I wanted to use the opportunity to kind of practice my skill at leading a team. How'd you think that meeting and all that stuff went?
I think that was really good. And like you said, there was the growing pains, I think there's some frustrations in the beginning because it was kind of like everybody's, but once you panned that all out, it was just the absolute greatest time on the planet.
For sure. And I learned that back from my production days as a cameraman that while we as the hunters slash producers are hunting, those guys are always working, they're always on, they're mentally taxed, with gear, physically taxed with gear, getting shots, thinking about the production. So I remember as a cameraman, certain producers would kind of get lost in what they had to accomplish and forget that like we were dying and like hungry and tired. So that's something that always stuck with me. So yeah, I think, around 9 or 10, I was like, all right, let's get these guys back. Let's get them some food. Let's get them a nap. 'Cause they,
I
yeah, we
also
wanted.
learned that this is like something maybe you haven't not noticed, but I learned that the camera guys have to take their time, extra time. Like we get in kill mode
Yes.
and they take their extra time because if they're holding cameras and they're paying attention to you, and if they trip, fall, roll an ankle one time, their season's done.
Yes.
So they really like, you're like, come on, come on, come on, come on. Like,
Yeah.
let's go. Like, come on,
Yeah.
come on, come on. And they're like, they got to just go one speed, safety speed,
Yeah. And Luke is really good at that. He's learned that over the years. And Ruger being young, and wanting to, do a good job, was moving a little fast. It's like he took a pretty bad spill at one point in some blowdown that could have been really bad. And at that point, like, everyone was just like, sorry, man, just like, let's all just calm down. And I'm guilty of that too. Like, I can get in kill mode and just be like, oh, let's go, and freaking out. That was one of my major takeaways, is just like, I'm always learning to just be more patient and calm. But yeah, I mean, I think at that point, Luke and I kind of reiterated to Ruger to like just slow down. You know, if you need to run ahead and get a shot, you don't got to run. Just tell us to stop and we'll wait. So yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic when you got cameras involved. And something I said to you from the beginning was, you're a hunter, you're a killer, you're also got your military background. So like, you know, I kind of felt like your mindset was, let's get in, let's kill as many bears as we can as fast as possible and just get it done. And that's good. You want to have that, because your role on the team was like the hunt master. You were like the guy that knew the land, knew the bears, knew the everything like that. So it's a little bit of a weird dynamic, because like on some level I'm kind of the team leader, but also on some level you're a lead the leader too, because you know about the bears and the land and the hunting. But I had to tell you, like, let's remember that our goal is to kill bears, yes, but also it's a production, so we have to do things in a way that's good for, you know, good for the story, good for the production. Not just like, I was talking to a guy the other day about a hunt I got coming up, and he's like, dude, you could just drive and just shoot. And I'm like, I know I can drive and probably shoot an antelope 25 feet from the truck, but I want to make a good show, so I'm gonna hike the whole thing. And then we're and he's like, oh, okay. So you kind of have to like have that in mind. It's not just a hunt, it's also a film and a hunt.
Big learning situation for me. I mean, as far as all that goes, yeah.
Yeah, man.
But
So anyway, skipping ahead a little bit, we went back to camp, rested up, had some food, and then headed out about, I don't know, probably 4-ish or so. And
yeah.
this was the night you shot your bear, right?
Yep.
All right, so you walk me through that evening.
Well, I had pretty much my heart set on that blonde bear only.
You
Like,
did.
I didn't sleep at all the night before open. I had like maybe an hour of sleep. Like it was on my
I woke
mind.
up at like 2 o'clock to go pee in the middle of the night, and like you just like jumped out of bed. And you're like, oh, I can't. I've been thinking about that blonde bear all night. Ugh. And I was like, go back to bed, man. We got a couple hours. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I want the bear slam of all the colors at some point. But yeah, I couldn't. So we go into a specific cut. By the way, Hunter, MVP bear spotter of the week in the most random places. I always scan the tree lines in the bottoms, and he just like pulls binos up and oh, there's a bear everywhere we went.
I will say I was proud of myself on this trip. I spotted the most bears by far, I gotta
He
say.
definitely did. So he spots this bear in the bottom, and it's like, okay. So we're all getting all jacked up, and you were getting set up, and I like, for whatever reason, like went to you and was like, I don't think that's the bear you're looking for, which hindsight, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Your goal was a chocolate. And we watched her and I got set up on the tripod. I was like, I'll shoot it. My mindset changed completely. It's like, no, I got to put some meat in the freezer for me and the girls. And that's a pretty decent bear.
Yeah.
Let's shoot. So I wasn't. So first time on the tripod, you know, had Luke coaching me, like, go take your time. Like I could hear him and got set up, and then the old Weatherby rang out.
Yeah. So let
She
me so
didn't
we
go 20.
No, she did not. So yeah, we saw the bear. I already having the kind of botched opportunity. I sort of went to kill mode. I was like, so I just ran down and I got set up. Because I just wanted to get set up, and that's my thing, is like, just get set up on it. You don't have to pull the trigger, but like, get ready so you can. So I like went into kill mode, got set up. I was laying, I had her in my crosshairs, and but I wasn't like about to pull the trigger or anything. I was just getting ready, and it was good practice. And then yeah, you came over, you're like, I don't think you said, I don't think it's the bear you want. And I agreed, and I was like, and I felt this is one of the first times I'd really passed an animal on a hunt, to be honest. I don't pass good opportunities normally, but I felt good about it. I think, and I'm glad we did it that way. And then it was kind of a decision of like, all right, we're gonna let Luke shoot it. What do we do here? And then you were like, man, I'll shoot the bear. Like, I need some meat, and it was a good opportunity. So, and I think you might be the first person. You may be the first person ever to kill an animal off that new Manfrotto Alpha Shot tripod, which is kind of cool.
That is pretty.
But pretty steady. How was it shooting off the tripod?
It wasn't bad. It's something you definitely need to practice.
Yeah.
It was a big learning experience for me because out here in Western Oregon, the clear cuts are steep, and if they're reap rods any of any age with the tall grass, prone is a difficult shot. And I think Luke figured that out on his blacktail hunt last year that week when we got him a blacktail. And you're from that tripod, you're able to see over all that stuff. So it's actually, I'm gonna get that set up for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah, it's a nice option to have. And just for people, I didn't know what it was. Reprod is like young pine trees, I guess, that were planted to reproduction trees, reprod for that cut to regrow to be cut down the road. So, but yeah, man. And you grab my rifle, which has that new MDT Hunt 26 chassis on it. So Weatherby 307 and 300 Win Mag, and that thing has an ARCA rail built into the chassis, so I could slap the rifle right onto the ARCA mount on my tripod, and it was in there solid. And you made a great shot, and she literally went like 20 yards and died.
Have you seen the video, by the way, in slow-mo?
I haven't really
You
looked at the footage yet.
see the shot penetrate through her and the blood go out. And as she's running, you see every jolt of blood going out of her.
No way.
And then you watch her pile up. It's pretty rad.
That's cool. Yeah, I haven't even, I've just been hanging out with family the last couple of days. I haven't even really dug into the footage yet, but that's sick, man.
Yeah, it's
And
cool.
we
It
went down.
wasn't
Go ahead.
a hellacious cut, but it was hellacious coming out because the deadfall was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad pack out as far as elevation and distance, but yeah, the whatever you call it, the deadfall was, as anyone who's hunted Oregon knows, it's like, I've explained it before, but it's like imagine like 3 feet of like dried sticks and like a basket weave from hell covered over top by like a thin layer of like poison oak or something, or like some kind of weird vine. And like, so you step on it and then you just like crash through, and it's very hard to get through. But we got down to her and cut her up, packed her out, and yeah, it was a, it, turned out to be a really old bear, right?
Yeah, she the taxidermist, I didn't even for I don't know if just all the excitement, I didn't even look at her teeth that night, and then
I remember
that's
looking at him and like two of her fangs were like busted up.
they were gone, and then all of her fronts were literally just almost the skin. And the taxidermist told me, and Luke, he's like, "Man, this bear's at least 20 years old. The oldest one I've seen is 26, and he's been doing it a long time. Does a
Wow.
lot of bear."
Yeah, you sent me the picture like of a close up of the teeth, and yeah, they were even more like worn down than I just took a really quick look and I was like, wow, she looks kind of old. And then, but I didn't even notice like how ground down those front teeth were. But
Really healthy sow, like 20 years of getting chased by big boars, protecting her babies, like just struggling through life. So that made it way more special when the taxidermist said that to me.
yeah, 20-year-old bear, that's crazy, man.
And she didn't stink. She had really, really nice fur. Usually they're wiry. I mean, it was a good bear for me. It was a good bear. I'm
Yeah.
not gonna complain one bit. And then yeah, we got it off the hill and zipped back to camp for night time.
Yeah, and that was nice to have one tag filled. I felt good that you had some meat in the freezer and had a bear down. And I think that night we had, I think we might have just had something easy for dinner that night. I don't really remember, but and then the next day, what happened the next day?
We went back to a cut, and we had some mishaps with precision shooting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that case, we went back to the same cut that morning and we saw a nice big black, like jet black. But it was what, 870 or something?
Long ways.
Yeah. Which is like twice what I normally shoot. Like I, but for whatever reason, we decided like let's just send one and just see what happens. I don't know, it's weird looking back. Like I don't even think I was really even expecting to make that shot. And I noticed at the range, I didn't really have time to like get it completely dialed, and this is my fault, but my gun was shooting a few inches low, at like 600, and I was kind of having to sort of make like field adjustments just kind of based on what I thought as far as elevation. And when I took that long shot, it was probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 inches low and just hit the dirt in front of the bear. Clean miss, which I was glad that it was a clean miss and not like a, the worst situation is wounding a bear. So anyway, we decided to send one. I did, and it was just clean miss at
I'm
eight,
glad you did.
almost.
I would have sent it too. The way the wind, we learned our lesson the morning before on that cut with the wind. So that was kind of the only real option other than Ruger's idea, which was to drop all the way to the bottom and then come up another finger. But I kept trying to just reiterate that the bushes look small from the other side, but they're 10 feet tall where the bears are, because they just pop out of nowhere. You know, you're like, they're out in the middle of the cut all night. We're glassing and you're not seeing nothing, and then bloop, right in the middle.
We at that point, we just that was kind of the only really play at that bear. Ruger did have a good idea of how we could get over there and kill it. But and he said this later, if it was like one guy going after something, it was a good plan, but how thick it was and how nasty it was, and trying to get two guys or two or three guys and cameras, like there's no way we probably would have snuck up on that bear. So it was really the
No.
only shot. So we just kind of took it, and I didn't honestly even feel that bad about missing. I was just glad I didn't wound it, because that was almost a 900 yard shot, and like the longest shot I've ever made is like 560. So.
So then we pivoted, checked a few more cuts, and then we went to my glassing spot, the Eagle's Nest.
I don't even remember which one that was, the Eagle's Nest. It's a
It's
different.
where the two spots are, you go left or right.
Okay.
You guys went left. My knee was hurting, so I stayed to glass. And this is just a testament to my luck and also Hunter's MVP bear glassing. Glass, 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 glass from basically the truck. Went back to the truck, take a break, and get out of the sun. And I sent them down the one road to go check these other spots. And out of nowhere, this wild banshee comes running up the hill after like a mile run. Here comes Luke, spotted a bear right where I was just looking for an hour from a mile away.
Was me that ran up. Yeah, you said Luke, but
Oh, I meant you. Sorry.
no, it's okay. Yeah, you so this was like 9 o'clock or something. It was kind of the morning was winding down, and so yeah, we stopped at like kind of a crossroads. Yeah, your knee was a little bit jacked up from that pack out. We went down a logging road for probably about 2 miles, and I glassed back towards the hill that you could see from your truck. And somehow, like from like 1500 yards, I spotted this little, didn't look like much, but a little black bear. And we kind of messed around a little bit looking for some more. And I was like, man, well, there's a bear over there. Let's move over there and let's see what's going on at least. So I glassed him again, and the Luke and Ruger were back there kind of doing some stuff and moving it at their pace, which is a little slower. And I just said, I'm gonna get over there. So I started jogging, and I got back to and then once I got like maybe 300 yards from the truck, I glassed the hill again, and then I see another bear, a much nicer chocolate. And at that point, I was like, okay, it's on. I started running, and I got back to the truck. I was like, dude, chocolate, let's go, let's go, let's go. But
Yep.
the boys were still like 200, 300 yards behind me because I started running. And I think at this point, I don't know if maybe they just didn't feel like running, or maybe they thought like, why is he running after a tiny little black bear? Or maybe they're like, oh, he's just in like hunter freak out mode again. I don't know, for whatever reason they just kept walking while I was like running. And then I got down there, so I had to go another probably, I don't know, probably close to a mile from the truck. Maybe not quite, but
I would say the 3/4 mile for sure.
3/4 mile.
From where you shot, for
Yeah.
sure.
And so I got to a little curve in the road where you could It was about 550 yards to the opposite hillside, and it was a nice place to set up. And I got pretty much set up, and you guys were still a couple hundred yards behind me. At that point, I was like, all right, let's go. Come on. I started waving you guys down. Did you guys know that I'd seen an. Oh, yeah. Ruger said, or what did you guys think when you were like way behind me? And I was like, get up here.
I didn't even have my binoculars up. Ruger had already spotted the nice bear and was like, yeah, there's a nice bear. He's a phenomenal hunter, that kid is. So yeah, so we got down there and got set up, and then it was a yard sale. Just
So I started motioning them. So Ruger told me later that he had pulled up his binos and he saw the original little black bear, but with a big chocolate, like literally, he said, like at its butt, like biting at it, like literally chasing it off a cut. I never saw that, but I was able to tell like this wasn't the original bear we saw. This is a much nicer one, and he was brown. And that's when I was like really started moving, got set up. And then, again, it always takes a little time to get the camera on him, to get me on him. It seemed like I had a little trouble on this trip with like target acquisition and like finding stuff. But finally we did. And it was 5:20, 5:50, somewhere in there.
yeah.
And we were set up. I sent one and hit him, and he just, I mean, he fell like he was stone dead, like the second the thing hit him. Ooh, and I hear you guys go, dead bear, dead bear. And I was like, heck yeah. Racked another one. Then he kind of like rolled off the log and like stood up, and they're like, oh, he's alive. And I was like trying to get back on him, and then he just starts running. And what were you thinking at that point?
I was in panic mode because this is a absolute hellhole of a cut. Like the side that we were on, it would be like slide down on your back, and then the bottom. That's another thing like people don't understand that Oregon has, and we now call it asparagus. And I don't know anyone. I've asked so many people in the last week, what is that crap called? And they're like, we call it asparagus. I'm like, that's what it is. That
Wait,
was.
Ruger's not the only one that calls it asparagus?
No, everyone thinks it like just calls it asparagus because that's what it looks like.
Oh, I thought he was just having a brain fart and just kept saying asparagus.
Well, I mean, that is what it looks like. Nobody knows what it is, but for like the people listening in the bottoms of these draws where the water seeps out of the mountains, there's usually like a gully in the bottoms with deadfall. And this stuff grows up and it's anywhere from like 3 to like 10 feet tall. And it's so thick that once anything goes in it, gone. Like it's gone forever. Like, I mean, we have lost bears in that before. So, I mean, like it is gone. So, and this sucker is going straight for the asparagus. And testament to Ruger, he's literally catching you on film in one hand, eyeballing his camera. And in the other hand, he's got his binos and he's telling you where the bear is. Phenomenal. Luke's catching the whole thing. And then there's just me in the background. Oh, no. Oh,
Yeah, okay. So I'll run through that. So yeah, the bear, he's literally at this point sprinting down the mountain with only his front two paws. Like, so I guess I had spined him and hit him far back, so his back legs were just completely out of commission. And he's sprinting down this mountain with two legs, which is obviously not ideal, but it's hunting, and that's what happens sometimes, I guess. And so he goes into the asparagus stuff. I have no, I like Ruger's like, he's in the asparagus. I'm like, finally, after like the third time he said that, I was like, dude, I don't know what asparagus is. Like, where is this thing? And
yeah.
then yeah, and when he's in there, literally I hear just in the background, Josh, oh no. Oh no. And after like two or three, it starts to get into my head, and I'm like, dude, chill out, Panzeca.
For us, he crawled through the asparagus and came out on the other side, and we had a much easier, close, shoddy, like posted up on a stump, and you were able to put him down.
So we got him down, and then like he was laying there piled up, and I think I just like put another one in him, just like make sure he was dead, which I
He
don't know, but
was a tough bear.
he was very tough, man. Like watching that footage is pretty wild. The way he was able to move like that, but they're very tough animals, man. So anyway, it was, and that was a learning experience for me, which breaking it down, I'd talk to you about it later, is like I should have identified beforehand a spotter, which should have been you. I should have had you right next to me with the bear, giving me directions. That's something you guys should always work out in hunting situations. Have a shooter and a spotter if you can. Don't be trying to rely, because communication completely broke down. Ruger's trying to film. He's also trying to tell me stuff. I don't know what he's talking about because he's saying asparagus. Luke's like 20 feet away trying to capture it all. You're just over there like, oh no. Communication like completely broke down. In the future, I wish I had had you next to me spotting and the other guys just worrying about the cameras. But anyway, it did work out. We got the bear down. It wasn't, a clean one shot kill as we always like to have, but it just went that way. And so, and then, and that point, it was, we knew it was going to be pretty bad pack out, which actually it turned out to be not that bad, because we were able to kind of pick a route that was along the tree line. So we, although it was still pretty deep in there, it wasn't bad deadfall. But we had to go back and hydrate and get some food before we could come back in there and do it, 'cause we knew it was going to be pretty tough.
And picking the route just comes from my time in the woods. I know that that dark timber is pretty open. And so, like, yeah, it was a much longer pack out because of that, but it was relatively a clear shot up and out and then along that tree line. And it was nice. And then the road walking out, it was over a mile, but it was pretty steady. But it was working out and it was cool. We got lit up by some bees on your bear. So he got us back in the end.
Yeah, actually, I remember when I was in the gun waiting for you guys to come and get set up, I like looked down and there's like a yellow jacket just pumping into my arm, like ah. And like I still have a mark. Those yellow jackets are like legit, man.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem out here. Luke got lit up too. I mean,
Everybody got stung at one point. You stepped on a whole like nest at one point.
Yep, dropped Luke's rifle. Freaking
You
out.
threw Luke's rifle trying to get free from those things. That was
Don't care
funny.
how much this is. Ripping packs off and everything. They were in my back.
Yeah, that was bad. So we got that done, man, and then we went down there and did the pack out. It wasn't that bad, and then we the pressure was kind of off. It was definitely more relaxed at that point. We wanted to get Luke a bear still, and we definitely kept hunting, but it was just a kind of different dynamic, 'cause Luke is way more patient than I am. He's very cool, just like, let's go with the flow, let's look for some bears, let's try to find one, see how things go, which is a great attitude to have. But because of that, the pressure was off a little bit, and we were just kind of like, let's get some good content, some cool photos, have fun, and try to find Luke a bear.
Yeah, and then to add to the pressure or take it off is my friends came and got our meat on ice because the ice was melting for my bear because it was late into the next day. So I was stressing on that. So they came through completely clutch, got it re-iced, and then they took the meat out for us that night and got it to my house at the meat locker.
Yeah, that was really nice of them.
So that was really cool. And then I think we went out on the boat that afternoon. We took the afternoon off.
That's right. Yeah. We decided after that, let's have some fun. And we jumped in Josh's boat and we did some wakeboarding, some wake surfing, and I think Luke and Ruger really needed that.
They did, and
We all
it was,
did.
yeah, it was a really good time. And then, yeah, we had an early dinner, so we were in bed at a decent time.
Which we had been going to bed really late and waking up early. I mean, though we had a great camp and we had fun, we were also hunting hard and we weren't sleeping a whole lot. So I mean, again, just it was so nice having a nice place to rest and get good sleep, and
Yeah,
we
that's
had.
the thing that made this hunt a grind was the up at 3:30 every morning, hunt really hard till 10, come back to camp, make breakfast burritos, maybe get an hour snooze, and then right back out there on the grind until, and it's not dark till 9:30 here, so
Yeah.
you're not even off the mountain back to camp till 11, 11:30, then dinner, and then those boys are downloading all their stuff till 1 o'clock in the morning. So
Yeah.
mentally, it's a grind.
Yeah, the guys were really good about keeping their discipline of like they backed up footage every day. So they were the last ones in bed pretty much every night. I think you stayed up with them almost every night. There were several nights where I was like, dude, I gotta go to bed. Yeah, it was a grind. We weren't sleeping a whole lot, but yeah, had a great night off, and then kind of spent the rest of the time looking for a bear for Luke, which it never quite panned out, unfortunately, but we had a great time.
Yeah, so Luke, we basically crammed like 4 days worth of our hunting into basically one day and then the next morning. So, I mean, we went from 3:30 in the morning till pitch black that
Yeah.
Saturday and never gave up. I mean, the only time we kind of took a little break was at when we were, chomping around kind of midday in the woods doing some photos and stuff like that, and then shooting his rifle. But we had that, and it was a grinder of a day. The bears just weren't on. They were not on that
Yeah,
day.
something kind of clicked after that morning I shot my bear. We started seeing way less bears. I mean, we saw 30, I think 33 bears between scouting and up till my bear. And then after that, like we were having some trouble finding them. Like the berries maybe had turned off. I don't know exactly why, but
It
just
was
weren't finding the
weird.
bears.
The smoke was really hindering the hunt too. Like your glass, and it would roll in the afternoon, so the glassability was poor, and it was cooling it down. And I don't know what it is, but it's like they like that 100-degree weather than bears. I don't know what it is, but they like it. And we would have thought,
Yes.
oh, it's 30 degrees cooler due to the smoke. They gotta be everywhere, and they weren't.
Yeah, that day we hunted with Luke, it was cloudy and considerably cooler. And we were all like, oh, this is gonna be great. The bears are gonna be out all day. But yeah, we kind of found that it did seem like they liked the sunny bluebird days better. Or at least we saw more bears on those sunny, hot days.
If the bees are out, the bears are out, and it was just one of those off days. But I think it was Luke classed one at the last half hour of light on Saturday at
Yeah.
like 1300 yards. And so we just were just getting it down the mountain, trying to get to where we could stalk. And
Yeah.
I screwed up because I, another learning lesson, thought that it was several hundred yards in a different direction down in the timber. So I mean, we drove in tight on this bear, and in hindsight, I wish I'd have listened to Ruger because he knew where it was. And I mean, we were in tight.
Yeah.
So then
Yeah, and
they.
then they ran after the bear and we stayed back. And what actually ended up happening was I heard the bear circle back. Like he couldn't have been more than 30 yards from me. I never saw him, but just in the thick stuff, I just could hear. And I said, either that's the boys coming back through and they're about to pop out in 5 seconds with their cameras, or the bear just passed by here. And they came out down the road. So I'm pretty sure the bear heard them coming or whatever and just kind of doubled back and got out of there, but they tried. I think there was another opportunity that Luke had kind of to go after one, but it just didn't pan out.
I spotted it from the same cut that you killed yours in, but back like a mile, and it was on the ridge being followed by deer. And you guys, your plan was just kind of work all those fingers all the way out. And then it was like, we got one. And you guys beautifully like circled up, like I could see you, like you knew where the deer were, but he just got into that taller, older growth reprod. Anything over 7 years, it's like, as you now know, it's near impossible to find him when you're on that face.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, man, it was a great hunt. Like I said, we had a great time. We learned a lot, great camaraderie. I think a lot of growth hunting wise and interpersonally and team wise and stuff like that. What are some of the other like takeaways or interesting stuff that you observed from just the filming process or anything?
I just how heavy those cameras are. I mean, they were letting me play around with them, goofing around. There was a lot of goofing around on the landings too. I mean,
Oh yeah.
yeah, they convinced me to pretend to be a bear on the cut. Just goofing around, giving interviews. Yeah, but they're heavy. That stuff's heavy.
Yeah.
And they're in work mode 24 hours a day, where you and I are just shooting a buzz and talking and glassing and enjoying ourselves. They're working.
Right.
They're working the whole time. So I like huge respect for that. It makes the hunt way more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's not, like I said, it's not just get in and kill. It's like,
It's like, hey, we're putting a stalk on. Hey guys, come here, stop, stop. Like, got this good angle here. Like, let's go ahead. And you're like, dude, we're literally going after a bear right now. But it's like they got to capture it, you know, for what it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure, man. Trying to think of any other just like takeaways from trips. So my biggest takeaways were, in a group, in a hunt, even if it's just two guys, I think communication is very important. You don't want to let things fester. And then just as always, my biggest thing I'm always working on is just patience. Whether it's in the moment, kind of freaking out, or just like taking a deep breath. And like, there are times where even on that bear that I shot, my mindset is, okay, I got this thing in the open right now. Any second, he could just dive behind something. I'll never see him again. And sometimes that is the case. But this bear, he was on a pretty open face. I probably could have been a little more calm about it. So that's kind of one of my big takeaways. But I don't know, how did you think that we operated as a team, kind of with me as a team leader?
Oh, I think it, like I said, I think it went really well. And I think this, the back half of it was where we all just jived really good. I think like there was a super amount of momentum there that could be carried on to several more hunts, and it could be a really positive thing for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of which, any more thoughts on Alaska?
I'm trying to wing it.
You're gonna try to do it?
I'm gonna try to do it. We need to actually like sit down, maybe like
Yeah.
this next week and have a phone conversation about it. But I'm trying to go to Alaska on the caribou hunt with him.
Yeah, Josh was talking about we had such a great time, man. And like, yeah, I don't know. Something about you, I just like you, I we definitely have like a brotherly type relationship. Like, even though I'm older than you, like you're kind of like a big brother. But also so like you're an asset on the hunt, but also you kind of keep me a little bit just enjoying myself more, because I do tend to get really serious. I tend to put maybe a little bit too much pressure on myself. So having you there to kind of joke around with, and also like give me honest feedback, because I know with your military experience, you've been in way more stressful situations than a hunt, and more of a team dynamic. So I really value your opinion. And I even at one point, I think towards the end of the hunt, or maybe middle of the hunt, I kind of came to you just one-on-one and really asked you like, all right, how am I doing? How's things going? And got some honest feedback from you.
Yeah, and that was like a turning point for me as far as like your character goes. And I don't think a lot of people have that humbleness about them to do that. And I think that that is like a huge thing for leadership, is to, you know, be able to like come to someone and ask questions like that. 'Cause from the outside, you might not know, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really appreciated that a lot. And I think that Luke and Ruger really did too, because you and I like spoke one on one, and then like you brought it up to the group,
What was
and
your
like
observation that you shared with me?
I think that's between you and I.
Okay.
I think
All
that's
right.
between you and I.
Okay.
But it was very positive, and I think that you tremendously grew in that moment, you know, as far as like a lot of things. And I think that's one of your very strong suits, is that you're willing to go and have those hard conversations with guys, because it is a stressful thing. I mean, you have to produce a show, you have to be successful. And another thing, like, I think that makes this group valuable is all three of us want nothing more than to see the Hunter's Quest be a success. So we're
Appreciate that.
pushed, we have a tremendous amount of stress on us as well to like help that succeed, you know. Like
Yeah.
those two guys are, I think, world-class videographers, and they want it to be the best video that they've ever produced every time, you know. And I continuously hear that, and like, you know, and me wanting to make sure that you're on tremendous animals. I mean, shoot, you killed a Boone and Crockett blacktail. It's like now we've
Yeah.
got 35 plus bears on film in 4 days, you know, and you and I tagged out. So, I mean, we're on a pretty good roll here as far as all that goes. And I think that's just due to all the hard work.
For sure, man.
And you know, I think all three of us can see that, you know, you have this passion to be an ambassador for conservation and like really be a leader in the community. And I think that, you know, maybe some people don't see that yet, but we do. And I think that at some point you will be a spokesperson for conservation. And that's why I, you know, anyone listening to this, I urge you guys to follow the Hunter's Quest and like it and help it succeed, because someday you might be on Capitol Hill speaking on our behalf.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, that is important to me. It's something I've been getting more involved with through, you know, SCI, Ducks Unlimited, Mule Deer Foundation. That is a huge thing. And that is one of my goals. I do want to be an ambassador, you know, legally, but also to that large majority of folks in the middle who kind of could be swayed either way on the hunting topic based on their interaction with hunters, and stuff like that. So that's kind of a big thing for me. And yeah, I think, I definitely think I grew, and I think a lot of that was due to you, you know, being a leader, having someone that you can come to on an equal playing field and get real good feedback from, someone you trust their input and can make actionable steps is so big, because, you know, like I said, patience is something I'm working on. I do have a pretty good amount of pressure on me to deliver and, you know, make my partners happy. And that's the other thing too, is, you know, I had this conversation with Ruger, is like, no one loves, you don't want to be over commercial, and no one loves the kind of the commercial side of things. And I get that. But at the same time, like what I said to you guys was like, if it wasn't for my partners, I could be in a cubicle somewhere right now. You know, like the reason we're out here doing this hunt is because I have great companies that work with that support me. And in order to do that, I have to, you know, help them out as well and get them content and photos and whatever. So it's a big part of it. You can't ignore that. But so because of that pressure, and then also I really learned about myself on this trip. I demand excellence from myself, and I really demand excellence from the people that I'm with too. Like, I want, you know, I expect those guys to shoot it well and to do the best they can. And sometimes that might come off as, you know, maybe I'm a little too aggressive sometimes or something. And also, you guys all being from Oregon, you had a little bit of a kind of a bond just from your shared experiences and whatever. And no, because Ruger's from pretty much really close to you. You guys knew a lot of the same spots and some of the same people, Luke. And so there's already sort of that dynamic of like, what's it like when the group, you know, the teacher, like the kids all kind of like have their little thing, and then there's the teacher. So I did feel a little bit like I was kind of like, not apart from the group, but like there's a little bit of like a separate dynamic than I was kind of like the other guy, because I'm not from Oregon. And someone to talk to Ruger about too is like, Ruger's been mountain hunting longer than I have, a lot. Like, he's arguably probably a better mountain hunter than I am, or at least has more skills developed than I've developed. But I'm in this situation kind of his boss, which is kind of weird, but I am. And he's also like 14, 15, 17 years younger than me. So that's kind of a weird dynamic too. So we, you know, we were working on our communication, and I could tell he really wanted to, you know, impress you guys, because he's an Oregon, you know, native, and I was kind of it's just a different dynamic. So, but I think after I had that conversation with you, and then I talked to the whole group and kind of just reiterated more where I was coming from, I think that was really healthy. And and it was a great trip. I actually talked to Ruger the other day. He's off to an antelope hunt, but and we got even more on the same page, because we're gonna be doing a lot of work together. But anyway, yeah, it was
What's
Hey.
Just trying to finish this Zoom meeting.
All right, sorry, it crashed again. But anyway, I was just
It's all
saying, I don't know where you heard me last, but I was just saying that, all that pressure and then our conversation and then kind of addressing the group and everything. I feel like, yeah, like you said, we all kind of grew from that. And I just talked to Ruger the other day, and so it was a good trip, man. It was a good
It
trip.
was a real trip, and the goal of this trip was camaraderie and fun, and yeah, obviously the hunting, but we had like outside of hunting kind of goals, and I think we've really achieved, we hit our marks on everything,
Yeah, that was like
you know.
every hunt has its own story. Some, like I said, are some are hardcore backcountry hunts, some are different. And the story of this hunt was, Oregon style hunting and fun and camaraderie. We got out on the boat and did some fun wakeboarding and stuff like that. And we hunted hard and we had a good time together. We all learned and grew. And it was just yeah, it was a great time. So
What
I don't know.
the Panzeka-isms?
What's that?
What do you think of the Panzeka-isms?
Dude, I just like you are just a character, man.
Out of rigs, talking to everyone, getting info.
Yeah. That is a really good that is a takeaway that I have found before a lot too, which is something you do that a lot of guys when you see somebody out there, you might ignore them or just drive by them. Most often, if you just talk those guys 5, 10 minutes, they might say, "Oh yeah, I saw some bears over here," or they might, "Oh, many times I've talked to stop to talk to people on Western hunts and it ends up like paying off in some way that you couldn't have foreseen.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're a character, man. Like you're just one of a kind, dude. I don't know. That's why I love you, dude. Like it's just you're just like so unique. I can't even. I wish the people listening could like spend 3 days with you and just like it's yeah, you're a great dude.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. But no, it was a really successful, fun bear hunt, and I think that I mean, I'm gonna be jonesing to see some footage for sure.
Yeah, I know you are.
That's the only problem that, like, it's a year out or whatever for the show, So you're like, I've been just getting blown up about this blacktail show. So people are ready to see it.
Well, Luke sent me the first rough cut yesterday. So, we're gonna submit the first rough cut for the film for Loophole Monday. So it shouldn't be too long, for that. So,
And
yeah.
then, yeah, it's funny how word traveled. We were up there and our success too. I mean, the whole southern part of the state knew we were hunting. It's
Yep.
kind of funny. It's
Yeah,
like, oh.
and like having you out there as a friend and just so knowledgeable about the area and how much awesome opportunity there is in Oregon. Like we talked multiple times about making it kind of like a yearly Oregon trip, whether it's bear or deer or Rosies, or maybe we switch it up, kind of do something different every year. But yeah, hopefully it can be a long-term thing where we can go on some great adventures. And then you mentioned wanting to get outside of Oregon, which we got to talk about later. And me and Ruger are about to head up to Alaska in a couple of weeks. And I was like, well, you want to come? And so another thing to think about too, Ruger was thinking about getting a tag for that, but we kind of decided maybe not on this one. So you could get a tag if you want. Just something
Yeah,
to think about.
I'll definitely get a tag for sure.
Yeah.
I just mainly wanted adventure, but I'll definitely get a tag if I'm gonna go.
It's gonna
If
be an
he's not.
adventure. Yeah, it's gonna be an adventure, man. We'll talk about it
What
more.
side note, what did you think about the accessibility to the mountains here and the lack of people in the woods?
Yeah, that was amazing. We hit a lot of country, a lot of very nice looking cuts that you can literally drive to in glass. In some amazing looking country, and I think the entire opening day we didn't see one other hunter. I think the second day we saw one other guy.
One hunter the whole week.
Yeah, the whole week we saw 100. Like n nobody scout. I mean, literally, we didn't see another vehicle the entire opening day. And I think
Yeah.
later in the week,
Or
maybe Friday or Saturday, we saw one other hunter.
Oregon is such a sleeper state, and it's a very good community. Like all the other guys that I know from the area that are absolute gamers, bear hunters, like nobody knows where everybody's at, but everybody knows the general like 100 miles, and nobody wanted to cross paths like out of respect, you know?
Yeah.
And I just speaks volumes on like the actual hunting community here. I mean, in Oregon for the most part, I mean, you elk season general, it's a zoo. People will park right behind you. They don't care. But like the real hunters that are out here grinding and doing it, there's a big respect situation, you know. And what elevation are you seeing them? Blah blah blah. You know, where are they hitting? You know, and now it's turned into acorns and berries, blackberries. So it'll be a lot different grind for this
Yeah.
back half.
So
We
even
just.
on the deer hunt, like we saw a few hunters, but like it wasn't crazy. It's not like a Wyoming antelope hunt or something where it's like parking lots. Like it wasn't bad. So, but the Roosevelt is where it gets kind of a little bit more hairier.
Yeah, just you know where people know that they frequent, you know, like they won't care that you're parked at a gate sometimes, but you just gotta out hunt them. You
Yeah.
gotta out hunt.
And we even found too, like sometimes there'd be cuts so nasty that people will see animals down there and just won't shoot them because they don't want to go after
Yeah, we're not that breed of people.
them. No, we always shoot first and ask questions about the pack out later.
That's it, exactly, and that's the best. Hard as the pack out, even though, oh, these guys humbled me too on this trip with these dang trekking poles, man. They got me
Yes.
convinced.
Yep. Josh was calling us like women or something for having trekking poles. And then about halfway up, when he like almost fell twice and his knee was giving out, we gave him one. And afterwards, he's like, all right, I think I might get me a couple of those. Those are pretty nice. And also, you have to use them as a tool. Like I noticed at first you were walking and you were literally just like Gandalf, like it was a magic wand or something. Like you're just like, you weren't, I was like, dude, you got to use that thing like to pull yourself up and like help. It's a tool for taking some pressure off your legs, and then you got it, and you're like, okay, now I see what's up with these.
Yeah, and then I really liked them, so I'll be getting a pair. I'm joining the trekking pole community.
Good, man. I've heard it takes 30% of stress off your knees.
I think my biggest like thing with it is you see all these like hikers running them, you know, and you're like, I ain't one of them. I'm gonna throw a whole rosy quarter on my back and just die like hiking up and use my elbows into my knees as support. You know, I'm not gonna be one of them. Well, my opinion change when I tweaked my knee.
Yeah. Well, usually you see those like hippie dudes on like a trail with like zero incline, but they're like 60 years old or something. So it's like, but yeah, I mean, we're getting older and we're not on trails. We're on like nasty stuff and it's steep. Like they're definitely, I've been saved many times by my trekking poles. So that's a good takeaway. But anyway, man, we're coming up on time here. I need to go hang out with the kids some more, but it was great talking to you. Any other final thoughts?
Nope, I don't think that hunt could have been any better, any more fun. I don't think that the four of us could have bonded any better. I think we all learned a lot. I think Ruger, it was priceless for Ruger
Yeah.
as far as learning from Luke and like just hanging out with a bunch of really good guys. And like, I mean, I don't think any of us couldn't say that was a 10 out of a 10.
Yeah, he was excited when I said you might come to Alaska.
Yeah, I really want to go. I'm going to try to swing it. We need to
You should
talk
do it.
next week.
You should do it, man. The sooner we can talk, the better, because you might need to get a few gear items. But yeah, we'll talk next week. But Josh might be a more visible character on the Hunter's Quest if that happens. So I hope so.
That would be
Because
cool. I really.
it's more fun watching two guys having fun hunting together and shooting the breeze than, me just super serious all the time. Like, where is he? The guy Luke was messing with me. Like, that scene from Batman where he's like holding the guy over the building. He's like, where is he? Like, apparently that's what I was doing with the bear. So,
Oh man, I love it. That's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, he was giving some great information to Ruger, and that was great. So, but anyway, man, all right, let's close it out here. I want to say thank you again for everything, man. Like, you made this hunt We couldn't have done it without you. And not only did you help us get on the Bears, but you gave us a great time, great food, great fellowship, a great place to hang out. So thank you so much for all your work, dude.
No problem, man. That's what friends are for.
Absolutely. And hopefully I'll be able to show you a little Alaskan adventure here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's out of my wheelhouse. I'm going to be just taking the back seat, learning myself on that one.
Well, this will be my fourth, I think, caribou hunt. So like, and I've got a decent amount of Alaska experience, so it should be good, man. Hopefully it'll work out. We'll talk next week about that. Maybe Monday or Tuesday. Let's try to catch up.
Yep, I'll call you Monday.
Okay. All right,
All right,
dude.
man. Have a
You
good rest of the day with the kids.
too, buddy. Have fun this weekend.
All right, later.
See you, bud.